prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
All right, welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I'm Pastor Dave, the guy in the green shirt. For those of you who are actually watching,
YouTube
is Jeff.
TV.
Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
Hey, why aren't you at Revolution Church yet?
That's the question.
That's the question.
Because if you're not, if you're watching this
on TV or on YouTube or listening to the podcast or listening to the radio show,
you should be in church.
You should be coming to a church.
Right.
So, because, look, if you're listening to the radio show, I know you've thought about coming to Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Just come try it. Unless you've got a good home church, and stay there. We don't want to steal people.
Right.
But you know what? If you aren't in a church or if you don't even believe in God yet, if you're not sure where you're at, come on out to Revolution Church.
There you go.
All right. Today we're talking about Noah.
Noah?
Noah. Sometimes when my younger kids say no, they go, Noah.
Right.
I'm like, why are you talking about Noah?
Right.
And they hate it when I say that. But today we're actually talking about the real Noah. And we're not we've talked about the flood a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is this a worldwide flood? Is it a local flood?
Right.
Is it, what is the impact? We've talked about the science behind it.
Yeah. Why are kangaroos in Australia?
Yeah, we've answered that question. It's on a truth shot. You can go to our website, truthrevolution.tv, and find out why kangaroos are in Australia, even though there was a flood and all that sort of stuff. But today we're not talking about whether it was covering the world or just a local flood. We're not talking about the science of it. We're talking about the theology behind it. Why would God flood the entire earth?
That's the question.
That is the question. And it's mind blowing. We're also going to answer a Bible contradiction because we love to know the truth.
Right.
And we don't think the Bible contradicts itself, even though a lot of people say it does. We do those every single week. So, you know, when I was playing airsoft a number of years ago,
yeah,
I got a little confession here. Our guys at our church would go play airsoft. It's kind of like paintball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you shoot each other. And went out there and I was looking around to find someone to shoot. And some guy was hiding in the bushes and he shot me from like 10 yards away. I didn't see him there. He was hiding. I walked up on him and he just shot me. But the only thing is it hit me in a spot you should not be shot in.
Oh, ow.
Yeah. As a guy. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm the pastor of the church. I'm the pastor of this church. And these guys are with me and they shoot me right there.
Right in the nose, right?
No.
All right. Are we comfy?
Doesn't matter. This is torture.
I'm sure it was.
And I said a word I should not say.
What?
Yeah, for real. As soon as he shot me, I jumped and I went, oh.
Mm.
I just shouldn't have said it. And I did. And was God mad at me?
Well, I mean,
God might kill me for my wickedness.
You are pretty wicked.
I am pretty wicked. You know, Ted Haggard was a pastor, and he spent time with a male prostitute. Mm-hmm. He did some drugs, apparently.
Right.
There was Joseph Stalin. He killed millions of people.
Wow. And that escalated quickly.
All right. There's a kid in our church. He sat in a chair that he shouldn't have sat in when his parents told him not to.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you, listener, you sin too. You've done things wrong.
Right.
It's not just me, Joseph Stalin, and a little kid.
Yes, he's talking about everybody but me. This is like a first.
Everyone except Dave has sinned.
Yeah, whatever.
Don't be too proud of
Dave including, right? Why do people mess up? Why do people mess up, Dave?
Because they're human.
Because every single human sins. Now, this is a fact we got to get in our brain, okay? Because a lot of times we talk about the flood and God destroying all humankind through the flood and why would God do this? And let's go ahead and read Genesis 6. Because if any skeptic is listening and if anyone's ever thought to themselves, it's not fair that God would cause a flood and kill all humans. That's just wicked and cruel. Let's listen to Genesis 6.
Okay, this is Genesis 6, 5 through 7. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only on evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe out mankind, whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them.
Okay, God decided to eliminate humankind.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we deserved.
Still deserve it.
Can God do that? can God eliminate mankind?
I bet you're going to let us know why.
Well, Psalms 24 gives us a pretty good clue. Let's go ahead and read this one.
The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it.
So who do I belong to?
God.
Who do you belong to?
God.
Who do our listeners belong to?
God.
Okay, God owns all of us. We belong to him. The earth is his. Everything in the world is his. Everyone who lives in the world is his. That's what it says. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it belong to the Lord.
Right, and anybody wants to doubt that, let's look at one of Da Vinci's paintings, okay?
Help me out.
When he made that painting, he said, this is mine. This is what I did. Now he had the right to sell it. You know, God never sold us.
No.
Okay? God made us. We are gods.
That's right.
You know?
So that is Leonardo da Vinci's painting. It is his.
Right.
God made us. We are his. If Leonardo wanted to trash his painting, he could do that.
Absolutely.
He could actually rip through it. That's his decision.
Absolutely.
Does it have value? Yeah, he made it. He's a pretty good artist. Could that artist choose to rip up his creation if he chose to, so chose to?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, he could. Now, you have God, who's a creator and designer of all of us. And he sees how great our wickedness has become, and he decides to destroy everyone. And it's God's prerogative to do that. But then there's this guy named Noah. Genesis 6, 6 to 8 tells us that Noah got God's attention.
So the Lord said, I will wipe out mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord.
Ooh, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is interesting. Again, Genesis 6, look at verse 9.
This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God.
Okay, so God had favor on Noah, and it says that Noah walked with God. Now, what do we see in the world at that point, okay?
Right, totally depraved, sin all over.
Sin everywhere, but God had favor on Noah. Because God had favor, Noah walked with God. I think this is interesting. Verse 8, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, God looked at him. God liked him. And then it describes that Noah was a righteous man, blameless. He walked with God. Humans screw up, but God decides to save Noah anyway. This is what is this not saying? I want to make this clear because a lot of times we get this story wrong. A lot of times you come into this and go, wow, everyone was screwed up except Noah. Noah had no flaws whatsoever. Now, it is saying that Noah was different than the other people that were on earth at the time. I will give you that. I agree with that. Noah was different. Noah loved God. And Noah didn't live the same as everyone else did. But Noah was not perfect.
Still
was,
a human.
He was still human. He still made errors. He sinned. Was Noah rich and he paid God off? No. Was Noah a really good baseball player?
Well, the Bible really doesn't cover that.
But probably not. Right? Okay.
I'm going to ask him one day.
So why did God save Noah? Well, let's go back to the beginning of mankind. The proto-evangelium is
a pretty big word.
Well, you know, we like big words around here. But the proto-evangelium is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Proto-evangelium. All you listeners, say it with me.
Proto-evangelium.
That's so nice. I'm happy for you guys that you got that. Now let's listen to Genesis 3:15.
All right. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.
Okay, what's going on here? Who is he?
Jesus.
Jesus. It says, he will crush, you will strike his heel. He will crush what? Your
head.
Your head? Who's that guy who's getting his head crushed? Well, this is actually Satan. Okay. So this is the very first prophecy you find in the Bible.
Right.
This is Genesis 3, right? Mankind, humankind has barely existed. You got Adam and Eve. They're living in a perfect garden and they sin. The very first two people who ever existed sin.
Right. Imagine that.
Ruined it for all of us.
Make a nice, beautiful world, put humans in it. Boom, it's ruined.
Goes wrong, right? So then God steps in, he looks at the situation, and he says to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, okay, to the snake, he says this, and between your offspring and hers, okay, the offspring of woman, this is Jesus, okay, he will crush your head, right, like a guy stepping on a snake's head, and you will strike his heel. Now, the snake is not going to kill the man. He will hurt the man, but the man will kill the snake. Obviously, this is not merely talking about snakes and humans.
Right.
This is the Proto-Evangelium. It's the very first prophecy. This is talking about Jesus and Satan, okay? In Genesis, God promised to crush Satan's head, even though Satan was going to bite the heel of Jesus.
Right.
And this is exactly what happened, right? Jesus died on the cross. Satan bit his heel. It was wounding Jesus. It hurt Jesus. But ultimately, Jesus crushed Satan's head. Now, what do we see with Adam and Eve? We see mankind screws up, but what happens?
God promises that he will save those who know him anyway.
Okay. God made a covenant with them to save mankind, right? God did with Adam and Eve the same thing he did with Noah. Even though pretty much the whole world was screwed up, God makes a promise to save the world anyway. Fast forward to Noah. God couldn't kill all mankind. Why not? Because he promised to
save the world.
Save the world. Yeah. Right? This proto-evangelium. You have God saying, I will crush Satan's head. He's going to save mankind.
Right.
So God's not going to destroy all mankind because he promised not to. So we come to Noah. Everyone on the earth is pretty much wicked except for Noah. God decides he has to kill these people, but he knows he's made a promise to defeat Satan. So what happens if God wipes out all of humanity?
Satan wins.
So God looks and he decides to have favor on Noah, because he's got to save humans, not completely destroy humans, because he made a promise to them. In Genesis 6, 11, 14, we read this.
It says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all people of the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out.
Okay, so God's giving Noah the means of salvation, right? Got that?
Yeah.
The means of salvation. Now, there's something very important coming up here. I want you to remember the word covenant.
Covenant.
Covenant. Okay? Now, let's read verses 17 to 18.
Okay. God said, I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on the earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you.
Okay, so God's going to establish a covenant with them. Covenant is a very serious agreement between two or more people. In this case, God is making the deal, and we get to accept it or reject it.
Right.
That's simply the way it is, right? In fact, this type of covenant was common in ancient times, where one would dictate the terms and the other person would accept it or not.
Right.
Nevertheless, God promises to establish this covenant with Noah. So God sends the rains, the flood, even though mankind is screwed up, God promises to save Noah. Just like in the beginning, Adam and Eve screwed up, God promises he's going to save all of humanity anyway.
See a pattern here.
Okay? Then all the world screws up again, God gets rid of all the screw-ups except for Noah because he's going to save the world. And then finally the flood is over and we read verses 8 to 17.
Boy, I wish I had James Earl Jones' voice here.
Oh, you do, Dave. You rock it.
Then God said to Noah, and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals. That's okay. All those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on the earth. Establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me
and
you.
There we go. All right, covenant, right? You're hearing the covenant all over.
Cut me off.
After the flood.
Just like I'm wicked.
God makes a covenant to every living thing that I will never cut off all life by the waters of the flood again.
Right.
Listen to that. God destroyed all life. Then he says, I'm never doing that again, at least not by a flood. We're going to come back. We're going to finish this. We sin. We flaunt it in the eyes of God. So God's going to come judge the world again. How's he going to do it next time? And what's he do in response?
Right.
There's been a pattern so far.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to come back. Also, we're going to do a Bible contradiction on this other side, and you got to get out to Revolution Church at 10 o'clock, 11:30, and 5 p.m. every Sunday.
We're going to get it right one of these times.
We got our new service times. Yeah. And Christmas Day. You got to come out for Christmas Day.
Going to be awesome.
10 o'clock, 11:30, 5 p.m. Come to one of those Christmas services. Love to have you. Revolution Church. We'll be right back right after this break. This Christmas, December 25th, you're invited to Revolution Church.
But what if someone had never been to church before?
Revolution Church is actually here for people who haven't been to church in a long time or ever.
And there's no dress code.
Jeans, t-shirts, tats, whatever.
Want more info? www.revo.church or check us out on Facebook.
Christmas Day, we have three services for you to choose from. 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., or 5 p.m.
And all of them have great kids programs too.
That's revo.church or look up Revolution Church on Facebook.
See you on Christmas Day.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
When did Jesus cleanse the temple? In John 2, it seems like it was earlier in his ministry, but in Mark 11, it suggested it was later on.
This reflects a misunderstanding of how the Gospels are written.
In our cracked acronym, the D stands for dialect. What type of genre, vernacular, or dialect is being used?
For instance, if I say, we won the football game by 1,000,000 points, I'm using hyperbole to make my point.
So, back to Jesus cleansing the temple. When did it happen? Remember the dialect.
The Gospels are not all written chronologically.
For us, we expect a story or historical account to start at the beginning and proceed sequentially, but that's not how writers have always inked their pages.
John ordered his Gospel by thematic elements. Mark may have ordered his chronologically, although some suggest his was thematic as well.
So overall, the books are thematic. Yet there is one little clue about when it happened in both Gospels. They both say it was around the Jewish Passover.
The same answer from both.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit TruthRevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give, give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going. Ephesians 1:4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. We were chosen by God to be saved before the world began. But listen to the rest of this verse. It says, in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. God chooses to describe his grand cosmic plan for the redemption of humankind as adoption. Now God chooses words carefully. And Jewish theologians, including Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, believed that history from the beginning was moving towards a pinnacle mountaintop when God would redeem his people, that is Jesus Christ redeeming us. And all the climax of all history, physical, emotional, spiritual, is described as our adoption because of Jesus. Consider adoption today. God uses the word as the pinnacle of what he's done for you and me. And it can be the pinnacle of what you do for another human being in this world.
Truth Revolution.
Hey, we're back talking about God and Noah and covenants. And does God destroy the earth again? Or are we really wicked? Is God done with us? What's he going to do?
So we had Adam and Eve, and they sinned. Mm-hmm. So all of humanity sinned and rejected God. And God said, well, I'm going to save them anyway. And then you get to Noah's time. All the world's wicked. Mm-hmm. God looks and says, well, I'm going to save them anyway.
Right.
Right, so he does bring punishment because he's God and that's his prerogative. Mm-hmm. He owns us, but he's finding ways to save us. Now, right after God judges the world and all people die, God makes a covenant, a promise to save all mankind from that same type of judgment again after Noah. Okay, yeah. I will never destroy the world with a flood again. Or at least I will never kill everybody with a flood again.
Right.
When God makes a promise, he fulfills it. No more will the earth and all humans be completely destroyed by a flood. Guaranteed. That will not happen. Now, it's still a little frightening. He could destroy us if he so chooses. He could just pick three or four people and kill us all with fire or, you know, he also...
radiation.
We're all going to hell, actually.
Yeah.
So the Bible guarantees that there will be at least one more judgment. He will come and take everyone, dead and alive, who didn't know him, didn't love him, and they will burn forever in hell.
That's the scary part.
It's a frightening prospect.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the theme that we've seen here? Even though mankind screws up, God saves.
Right.
He promises to save those who what?
Those who know him.
Those who know him. Who know him. In fact, God has made a covenant with you and me. Just like he made the promise to Adam and Eve. And just like he made a promise to Noah. He has also made a covenant, a promise to you and me. And this is what it is. That he will give us grace through Jesus if we want it. Matthew 26 says this.
Matthew 26.
Verse 26 to 28.
Oh, there it is. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins."
Now remember, a covenant is an agreement between people. God makes his covenant, and we can accept it or reject it, right? God makes his covenant with us through the blood of Jesus. Jesus died. Because Jesus died, God makes an agreement with us. I can count his death as your punishment, or you can take your punishment yourself.
That's a tough decision.
That's a really hard decision.
Right?
Right. This is why we say, come to church, learn about God, because God has established a covenant with us, an agreement. He's like, hey, I punish Jesus. Jesus died, and I will count that as though I punished you. Right? And that will be my agreement with you, that I punished Jesus and I will never punish you again. Or you can just ignore all that. Yep. Take the punishment yourself.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we say, does God send people to hell? Well, I mean, kind of, but not really, because you decide to go there.
Right. It's your decision.
I mean, you've made that choice, right? God has offered you forgiveness and you said, no, thanks. Send me to hell anyway.
Right.
Because I'm not interested in pursuing your relationship with you. I'd rather do things here on earth my own way. And now we're going to come back to this, but we've made the main point. We'll come back to answer it in more details, but let's do Bible contradiction.
All right.
Bible contradiction.
All right. This Bible contradiction brought to you by 1001BibleContradictions.com.
Okay.
What happens if they find another one?
Oh, then
they'd have to change
their web domain and everything.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. Anyway, prophecy is or is not sure. Okay. Deuteronomy 18:21. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him.
Okay, so if someone says they're a prophet and what they say doesn't happen, don't be afraid of them. They're a false prophet. They're not real. Ignore what they're saying.
Right, okay. However, 2 Peter 1:19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts.
Okay, a more sure word of prophecy?
Mm.
That's what it says?
Right.
And so this person's saying
that there is a more sure word of prophecy. There's prophecy that is sure.
Which would mean that there's prophecy that is
right.
Or there's also prophecy that is less sure.
Right. True. Yes.
So he's like, this doesn't make sense. The Bible just said all prophecy will come true. And if it doesn't, ignore it. But then you got another one saying, well, some is less true, some is more true.
That's confusing.
It's confusing. All right. Our cracked acronym, D for dialect.
Mm-hmm.
Dialect is like there's different words and different ways to phrase things. And you have to be really careful the words you use and the phrases you use. You know, the word myriad.
Okay.
Right now, it means just countless, right?
Right.
If I said, yeah, I've got a myriad of children out, right? Like, there's like countless number of children. But a few hundred years ago, it meant exactly 10,000.
You have 10,000 kids?
Yeah. Right. So you have to, because like words change. And I think this is why making sure you have a modern Bible translation actually is a good thing.
All right.
Because if you just look at 2 Peter and a more sure word of prophecy, if in our modern brains, we read that and go, I guess it means that some prophecy is not so sure.
Right.
But that's not what it's trying to communicate at all. We have to understand the dialect. I'm just going to read it in a more modern translation.
Okay.
And I'm going to read the context around it, which is important. Okay. Peter says, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses to his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came down to him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Remember when Jesus was on earth, God saw him?
Yes.
That voice came down from heaven. Peter says, we ourselves heard this voice that came down from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Okay, so he says, we heard the voice.
Right.
And then he says, and we have the word of the prophets made more certain.
Aha.
Made more certain. Okay, not more sure word, but it was made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining into a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Okay. Made more certain doesn't mean it's more true. It just means, we heard it ourselves.
Right.
I'm much more certain that this is real now.
Right. It's like hitting that hammer one more time to make sure it's totally in.
Exactly. So this is far from contradicting that prophecy will be true. This is showing, wow, prophecy was true. I saw it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. Now I am even more sure that prophecy really did come true.
Nice.
So that's the answer for a Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
Man, that was a good one.
Yeah. I just wish they would read it. Read it in context and listen to the dialogue.
That doesn't happen a lot. So.
Okay, so Matthew 26 told us that Jesus gave us a new covenant, right? So we have Adam and Eve. They sinned. They fell away. And God says, you know what? I'm going to find a way to save humankind anyway. He makes a covenant with them. And then you get to Noah, and God makes a covenant with Noah. I'm going to punish mankind, but I'm going to find a way to save you all. And God makes a covenant. And then he comes to us in Jesus, and God says, you know what? Everyone's still sinning, but I'm going to make a new covenant with you. And that's if you accept that Jesus died for you and believe in him, you'll be saved, but you don't have to accept it. Actually, it's funny. We screw up a lot, but God promises to forgive us as long as we follow Jesus.
Right.
At the very beginning with Adam and Eve, God made it clear. He was going to destroy the work of Satan. Okay. That's what he said at the very beginning, the very first prophecy. God's going to destroy the work of Satan. You can be part of Satan's works, or you can be part of God's covenant. It's up to you.
Right? Wow, that's a good way to put it.
All right, Jesus made it clear. He's the only way, okay? There's not some other covenant you can find. Hey, yo, me and God got a deal.
Right. I used to say that. Me and God got an understanding. That couldn't be even further from the truth. And if you're saying that to yourself today, don't believe it.
No. What you're actually saying is, I have an understanding. And God's like, and it's a wrong one.
Right.
Right? God has not made a deal with you. The deal God made with you is through the blood of Jesus Christ. John 14:6. Listen to what Jesus says. This is very clear.
Right. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
I'm not trying to be super exclusive. I can only tell you what Jesus said.
Right.
He says there's no way to God except through Jesus. Judgment is coming. God's like, when God sent the flood on the earth, there was only one boat.
Right.
There's only one ark.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get in or not. Jesus is the ark. You can look at the blood of Jesus and say, yes, I need Jesus or not. We screw up. God promises to save us, those who know him, and it's your choice to accept it or to reject it. But the only way to find forgiveness from God is through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:20.
It says, the law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more.
So some of you might be thinking, yeah, but I've done a lot wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where sins increased, God's grace increased even more. Okay, he's made a promise to save us. And God doesn't go, well, I'm going to save everybody except for that one dude.
Right.
Except for that one dude, because he's really ugly. He's really nasty. He's got those secret things he ain't told nobody about. You know what? I'm not going to forgive those things.
He didn't say that.
That is not what God said. Right. God said, I made a covenant with you through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you accept what Jesus has done on the cross, if you believe in Jesus, if you ask God to forgive you, he will forgive you.
Amen.
Period. Period. That's all. That covenant gives new life. We died to the old way of living. So now find new life in Jesus. Come on out to Revolution Church. I invite you. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, no matter what evil things you've done.
So make that decision. Will you come? Be sure and come.
You ever done anything evil, Dave?
Yeah. This morning, even.
Me too. We just want you to come out because we believe that God has forgiveness in mind for you. That God has redemption and mercy and peace and love in store for you. Now, if you don't come to Revolution Church, you need to get to some sort of church that loves Jesus Christ. You can even call us and say, hey, I don't want to go to Revolution Church, but I want to find a good church.
We'll find you a good church.
We'll find you a good church. I don't even care. Even in Salina, right? Like, we're not the only church in town. There's lots of good churches here. Mm-hmm. We'll tell you which churches we think are great. You can call us. I don't care. If you're not in Salina, I'll Google churches for you.
There you go.
All right. You send in your questions, your comments, whatever. TruthRevolution.tv is our website. Revolution Church is where we're from. This is Pastor Dave. I'm Pastor Jeff. Dave, where do they need to go? What website again?
Revo.church and TruthRevolution.tv.
Revo.church and TruthRevolution.tv. Have a great week, and God bless.